All right, Sunday morning. This is December 31st, last day of the year, 2023, and we're going to do a teaching called God's Architects. Today I want to create a mindset using the analogy of an architect, which is a master builder. This is just Webster's Dictionary. An architect is a master builder. Person who designs buildings and advises in their construction. A person who designs and guides a plan or undertaking. An architect is awesome and a multitasker and a 1,000,000% focused per individual. But without a team, very little will ever be accomplished. Think about that. Without a team, little or nothing would ever be accomplished. Yeah. This teaching today is to get you team focused instead of what you're going through focused. I know that's not easy. But the distractions are sent for a reason. Get you off focus. Not condemning anybody. It's a hard road to hoe, I know. I know better than you know about this situation, and I will not speak about it. I don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to know what I'm going through or anything else, because I want people to be encouraged. You can do it. You don't have to be so self-absorbed in looking at what's going on with you. When you see the bigger picture in the place that we are in history, that's to be our focus. We have a job ahead. Yeah, the devil means it for harm, but God knows that by the hardness you're going through, that it is training you to endure hardness when it gets tough, when you start doing what he really wants you to do. He can't use you if you're not tempered. Y'all know this. Knowing it and being able to do it, I guess it's two different things. But I believe God's grace is there for us a step at a time, if that's all we can do. As you read through the epistles, you will notice that very seldom was Paul ever alone. He usually had a team with him. He moved in and out of the Gentile cities with a team in place. Each part of the team has their own rare qualities that add to the effectiveness to the team. See, the apostle can't do what you can do. You have got a strategic part that God's trained you to do, and only you can do it. The apostle can't do it. And I'm going to show you what I mean. I got this information off of Freespoke. Here are 20 types of construction or constructors in construction. All right, first you got your general contractors. Ones that do excavation. You know, we're talking about taking out the trash or clearing the roots out of the rocks out to be able to come in and build a farm. Next, you got the concrete people come in. Next, the framer. Then you got the steel workers. Then you got window and door, electrical, plumbing, HVAC, I guess that's the piping or stuff, air conditioning, okay. Fire alarm and sprinkler, roofing, insulation, drywall, taping, plaster, flooring, finishing carpentry, painting, masonry, and landscaping. And if it was a bigger project, there's probably more than that. This is just like maybe a house. That's 20. Did the architect do any of that? No, but his workers did. The team did it. They have a team. What does the architect do? Also searched on Freespoke, this woman's name is Olivia Rowland, and I'm just going to read this to you. It's not real long. This is the architect job description. Architects create designs for new construction projects, alterations, and redevelopments. They use their specialist construction knowledge and high-level drawing skills to design buildings that are functional, safe, sustainable, and aesthetically pleasing. Architects say I, according to BU, means they're part of an overall project design team working closely with a range of construction professionals from quality surveyors to building services engineers. Rick Renner talks about these big temples that were built. The architect had his name engraved in stone, is the one that built that temple. Typical work activities include creating building designs and highly detailed drawings, both by hand and by using specialist computer-aided design applications. Liaising with construction professionals about the feasibility of potential projects, taking into account constraints such as town planning legislation, environmental impacts and project budgets, working closely with a team of other professionals such as project managers, building service engineers, construction managers, quality surveyors, and architectural technologists, completing planning applications and taking advice from local authorities, legal professionals, and governmental new build departments, writing and presenting reports, proposals, applications, and contracts, specifying the requirements of each project. You could say these things that we have written down that we speak. It's a little of this right here. Adapting plans according to circumstances and resolving any problems that may arise during construction. Playing a role in project and team management. Viewing buildings or sites, proposed locations, and client meetings. For the most part, an architect's working day will be office or desk based. However, site visits and meetings with clients are frequent, so you will be expected to travel. Working hours are typically standard office hours, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, but you may work longer hours, evenings and weekends, if there are tight project deadlines to meet. So just transfer that over to spiritual. Think about that. Just giving you an idea here. I must confess that at times I feel very alone in this. I know it isn't true, but the responsibility of this seems nearly overwhelming at times, thinking, oh, Lord, how am I going to do this? Well, it'll bring people. That's the only way you can do it. I can't do it by myself. God's architects are extremely centered and goal-oriented. They put their hand to the plow and move forward no matter what. We're going to look some of that in the life of Paul. Acts chapter 12. Verse 1 there. Well, this is about Peter, sorry, not Paul this time. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because his heart pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterings of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate, which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now you know why the deliverance. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad," but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. God delivered him. Acts 28. I can't think of anybody that went through more than Paul. You know, Paul was on, in chapter 27, he was in that hurricane, 2-week hurricane. And he didn't know if he was going to make it or not, but he said an angel of God stood by him. Somebody was praying. Stood by him and said, "Fret not, Paul. You have to stand before Caesar, and I'm going to save you and all that are with you." All right. Acts 28. And after this, you know, the shipwrecks. Swam to the shore, cold, you know. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Just think about this. After going through all of that, not having much to eat, worn out, trying to wrestle that ship, thinking, "Oh, finally, a little bit of warmth, a little bit of comfort," and the viper comes out of the heat and fastens on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. That doesn't mean he didn't feel it. Doesn't mean he might not have been feeling kind of yuck after what happened. It just means he was not going to let it affect him. Said, "No matter what, I'm moving forward and I'm not going to be stopped." Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. In the same quarters were possessors of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously, and came to pass that the father Publius was sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Just think about that. Here he's still tired, probably not feeling too well, if I have to guess. And here he's ministering probably to hundreds of people. This may seem extreme, but they were extreme. All right, 2 Corinthians 11. Paul goes through the discourse of all the different things that he suffered as a result of the office that he stood in. Verse 1, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through this subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." So he went through all of this to bring them people out of Egypt. Out of the system. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Here the man's probably starving. He don't have any food, he ain't any means. And he's shaming the church. Corinthians was one of the biggest congregations. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a minister for self-righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, that no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit. Wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. Here this man's giving up his life for these people and they don't even give him a time of day. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and often in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with the garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Apostles are visionaries. Chapter 12. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Think about this. If this was the time when they stoned him and he went to heaven, and he came back. Just think about what he must have looked like with his head bashed in. And he gets up and walks back in the city. Of such a one will I glory, yet myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. That's probably extra. The messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in perfections, or in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glory, and yet have ye have compelled me, for ought to have been commended of you. For nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. True, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For children ought to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Be it so, I did not burden you, nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, thank ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. And last when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall be well many, which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication, lasciviousness, which they have committed. And another thing here, they don't mince words. When they see problems, they take care of them. The Lord wants you to understand today that He has been molding you through the hardness you have endured. This is what I said earlier. You have said many times that you just want to do what God has ordained you to do. The hardness was never factored in on your part. I have to admit, I never thought I'd go through what I've gone through. But it was in line with God's part. You can have one, you cannot have one without the other. God needs you to not be a John Mark and bail out when the real work gets rolling. He needs staying power, not rolling stones. The church is going through reconstruction and reconstitution that will reflect in our nation, spiritual first, then natural. We are a part of this overall architectural plan of God. What does reigning mean? They're going to be ruling. Ruling. That means we're not putting up with that anymore. You don't get by with that. You call it out. Our part is the 17 counties of Permian Basin. As we begin to move forward, I believe that God will add to our team so we can accomplish all He has planned for us to do. When things get hard, just remain team-minded and take it for the team. Take it, suck it up, and take it for the team. That'll keep you motivated and keep you going instead of, myself. No, this is about what God is doing. Because at the end of it, we're going to get a reward for what we do for Him.